Good morning. As Reverend Byron said, we are so excited that we sent a team of 82 folks out to Appalachia, Virginia. And it's not that we forgot what the town is, it's just the town is called Appalachia this year. And so we are so excited for them to be in mission. I also have to tell you, I have never been quite this pregnant before in the pulpit. And so if you see me sipping water or taking a breath, please just pray for my energy at this time of the morning. I am so happy to be with you and sharing the word. And I hope you'll be gracious with me as I learn to do this while with child. Friends, let's pray together. Holy Spirit, welcome us into this place. Show us how you are already present in our lives. Help us connect with you. Help us connect with Jesus so that we might discover the joy that you are already growing. Amen. So if you were here last Sunday, you might remember that Reverend Ron preached about the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians. You might even be thinking to yourself, Carissa, you know you just had them read the same scripture two Sundays in a row, right? Were you not paying attention? But I was, and I wanted to refresh our memory on the fruits of the Spirit as we dive into one of them in particular today. I have to say first, though, that I love reading the letters in the New Testament. These are such approachable scriptures because they're written to people just like us, only from a different time and place. And so these are letters written to real people in real churches, in communities, in certain parts of the Mediterranean area. This letter in particular, Paul is writing to a community of churches in Galatia. This screen is funny colored, but on this one it's green in the top right corner. Galatia is part of what we now call Turkey. And so we think that these letters were passed around among different churches throughout the region of Galatia. And so Paul is writing this letter, Galatians, to these churches because after he finished teaching there and founding the churches, he started getting worried that the people who had followed behind him, the missionaries behind him, were going in and teaching things that were just off track. And they were getting the people worried about controversies that had nothing to do with the main heart of the gospel. And so in the letter of Galatians, Paul writes to these churches about how to keep the main thing, as one of our bishops used to say. So in Galatians, Paul reminds us of the main things at the center of our faith. One of those things is the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does. And in particular, Paul reminds us that while we have tendency to get caught up in messy things like enmities and strife and jealousy and anger, quarrels, dissension, factions, envy, you know, while we get caught up in all of those things, the Holy Spirit wants to grow fruit in our lives. Fruit of love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, or generosity in this translation, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, part of me thinks, thank you, Paul. I can just sit down now because that is a great good piece of good news to say to you all this morning. If you hear nothing else, I hope you know that you are not alone in this faith journey. Paul is reminding us that we don't have to do the heavy lifting alone. We don't have to just plug along and keep our heads down and try to do the Jesus thing best we can by ourselves. No, Paul is reminding us that the Holy Spirit is the one who does the heavy lifting. The Holy Spirit is the one who comes in and brings about the love and joy and peace and all these things that we need in order to follow Jesus. That's good news, that these are gifts given to us, not things we have to work for. So last week when Reverend Ron opened this text up for us, he asked us at the end to think about which of these fruits we already see in our lives, and which of these fruits we long to see more of in our lives. He has put a star next to one, circle the other. And over after the service, I kept hearing people say that they had circled joy, that they want to find more joy in their lives. And so today, that's why we're going to take a deep dive into joy, that one fruit of the Spirit, to see what Jesus in particular has to say about it. Now, as we get started, I have a bit of a disclaimer. This is one of those times when I'm preaching to you, but I'm also preaching to myself. I was one of the people who last week circled joy and thought, I want to see more of this fruit in my life. I'm going to pray for that for a while. And even in this year, when my husband and I have had so many positive life changes and pieces of good news to share, it's still hard to access joy on a daily basis. You know how it goes, right? You're working hard at your job, or you're trying to like work hard in keeping your household together, or you're getting distracted by all the things on the to-do list. Or maybe you're having a pretty good day and then you hear that something horrific has happened to somebody that you love, and it just, you worry about them. Or maybe you turn on the news and you find concern in what's happening around our nation and around the world, and you worry about the brokenness that we see. I think that worry, that sadness, that fear, and just the pure distraction of day-to-day life, I can have a hard time sometimes accessing that joy that Jesus offers us. And I wonder if any of you have ever struggled with any of these similar obstacles. So as we dive into this scripture today, I just want to start out by saying, we're going to do this together. We're going to be on this journey of exploration together, looking together for what Jesus has to teach us about joy and where we find joy. So first, let's be real clear about what is joy. It's this tiny word, but a big idea. So what is joy? First, we have to be clear about what joy is not. Joy is not just putting on a happy face. It's not keep your chin up. It's not buck it up. It's not just pretend everything's okay. Joy is not cropping out the bad things, you know, like a picture where you just get the messy parts out of the frame and so you can present the good parts to the world. And joy is not ignoring the world's problems. It's not being naive about the things that people struggle with in the world. And it's not avoiding things that are sad or difficult or painful. It's not any of these things. So what is joy? Well, if we go back to Galatians, where Paul talks about joy, the word he uses is kara. Kara. Which one is it better? Kara. It's kara. I've wondered that all morning. I don't speak Greek as well as English. Kara. It's kara, derived from the word kairo. And this sounds a lot like kairos. If you've been in the church a while, you might have heard the word kairos starts with a K, ends with an S. That means God's time. But kairo here, with a C-H, is actually a verb that means to rejoice or to be glad. And so this is a difference between this joy, to rejoice, versus just being happy. The Greek word for happiness talks about that outside-in kind of happiness. You know, like you're having a good day, or you have good luck, or you have good health, or you happen to have good money in the bank account. You know, that's the kind of happiness, that outside-in happiness. Whereas kairo, the rejoicing, is the inside-out happiness, the joy that comes from the inside out. It's related to this word charis, which means God's grace. And so the kind of joy that Paul is talking about here is that inside out joy that comes from being rooted in God's grace deep in your heart, from the inside out. You see how all these words are so related? Joy, as it turns out, is found only in God and God's gracious gifts. Actual, pure joy. It's a light that fills us up from the inside out with hope and faith and love. Joy cannot be hunted down. It can't be captured. Joy is something that we experience as a flow through us, as a gift. It's experienced as life is released by God and released to God. Joy is not a fruit of our labors. It's a fruit of the Spirit, a gift from God. The result of being connected with God, connected with Jesus, connected with the Holy Spirit. I love the way that Brené Brown describes joy, this metaphor she uses. She says, twinkle lights are a perfect metaphor for joy. I want you to have a little Christmas in your life today. Twinkle lights, she says, are the perfect metaphor for joy because joy is not a constant. She says, it comes to us in moments, often ordinary moments, and sometimes we miss out on bursts of joy because we're too busy chasing down extraordinary things. Other times we're so afraid of the dark that we won't let ourselves enjoy the light. But a joyful life, she says, is not a floodlight of joy. That would eventually become unbearable. She says, I believe that a joyful life is made up of joyful moments gracefully strung together by trust, gratitude, inspiration, and faith. Joy, as it turns out, is not necessarily a full blast, in your face, singing joy to the world every day of the year, happy all the time emotion. Joy can also be a soft thing, a deep sense of connection and security that comes from within, that comes from God. This is what we hear from Jesus in the Gospel of John. In this piece of scripture, Jesus is talking with his disciples after the Last Supper. And I got to tell you, if you've read the book of John, you know that when Jesus gets talking in the book of John, he gets talking. He gives long sermons at a time. And so this is right smack in the middle of this long thing called the farewell discourse when he's talking to his disciples, sharing some of his most heartfelt wisdom with them before he takes the last journey to the cross. And right in the middle of this section of scripture, we find this little snippet that you heard today with that final I am saying. I am the true vine, Jesus says, and my Father is the vine grower. Abide in me as I abide in you. And as we think about joy this morning, I'm struck by the way Jesus concludes at the end. He says, I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and so that your joy may be complete. Now remember, we always want to pay attention whenever we see so that in the scripture, so that. And so we see here, it tells us why we're reading what we're reading. Jesus says, here's my point. Here's the whole point of why I'm saying this. It's so that my joy may be in you and so that your joy may be complete. In other words, the purpose of what Jesus is telling us is because Jesus wants us to have joy. And so the whole reason he's talking about vines and branches and connection and abiding is because he wants us to find that joy. Which means that if we just flip back a couple verses, we can understand what Jesus tells us is our roadmap to accessing the joy that the Spirit gives. According to Jesus, the key to our joy being complete is connection. The key is connection. Throughout this whole passage of scripture, Jesus uses the metaphor of a vine growing fruit. Now, if you can imagine a good, strong vine of grapes, you can picture the three things you need in order to have a good crop of fruit. First, you need a gardener, of course, to plant and tend to the vines. And next, you need a strong central vine, right, that connects the earth and the branches and draws the nutrients up out of the earth and the water and gets all the nutrients out to the branches. And then third, you need the strong branches that will actually hold the fruit and not fall over when the grapes get really heavy. All three of these things are essential. And without connection between each of them, there will be no fruit. If the gardener is not connected with the plants and the gardener is just off doing his own thing, well, you're not going to have any plants to grow, are you? If the vine's not connected with the earth and the vine's not connected with the branches, the vine can't do its job of getting all the nutrients and water up into those branches. And if the branches aren't connected to the main vine, well, there's no way they're going to get what they need in order to form that good fruit, which is the purpose, of course, of a grapevine in the first place. The key is connection. Because we're not really talking about grapes here, are we? What we're really talking about here is the way that God creates and cares for us our whole lives long. What we're really talking about here is the way that Jesus, the vine, draws up the words of life and those nutrients for our soul that we need and gets them to us. What we're really talking about here is how we as branches have to be connected to that main vine if we're going to have any hope at all of bearing fruit, especially fruit of the Spirit like joy. When it comes to joy, connection is key. Which is why I think Jesus uses the same word 10 times in these 11 verses. Did you notice that? The word is abide. Abide. We don't use the word abide a whole lot in our lives day to day, but Jesus uses it 10 times in these 11 verses. He says, abide in me as I abide in you. Unless the branch abides in the vine, it won't bear any fruit. Whoever does not abide in me will wither away. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask for what you wish. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, abide in my love. Abide in me, Jesus says. In other words, modern day English, connect with me. Dwell in my word. Rest in my love. Abide with me. Connect with me. Just connect, Jesus says, because that will make my joy complete in you, and it will make your joy complete. Jesus wants to connect with you because that would bring Jesus joy. How amazing is it that we serve a Savior who takes joy in our lives and who wants to see you have joy. Jesus knows that kind of connection will bring you joy too. So how do we connect with Jesus? How do we abide in Christ? Well, there's certainly many ways, and I'm sure you all have wisdom about how you connect with Christ, but I have just three suggestions that I want to share with you this morning as possibilities to consider. The first is that I think we can abide with Jesus by going through the tunnel. And hang with me, because this is a weird metaphor, but we'll get there together. Here's the thing. Friends, we know that sometimes there are seasons of our lives when it is just hard to access joy. Sometimes you have a season of your life that is just flooded with grief, or you've gone through a death or a divorce or a loss of some kind, and you are just fighting against the pain. You're angry at God, maybe. You're bargaining for meaning. You're struggling to accept this new normal. This is all part of grief, and all of this can feel like a major blockade against joy. What I want you to know, though, is that these barriers that you sense are not walls that will keep you blocked off from joy forever. It's not a wall to stand behind and to avoid and to back away from. It's a tunnel, maybe a mountain with a tunnel through it. But I can tell you, before I was a pastor, I got trained as a counselor, and from that background, I can tell you that all the research shows that the most straightforward way to get through your grief is to go through the grief. So let yourself feel what you feel. No judgment zone, to go through the tunnel. Don't treat it like a wall. Don't stand at the entrance of the tunnel, but to go straight through there, because that is the shortest pathway to get to the joy that is waiting for you. That's my counseling background speaking, and now my pastor training kicks in and says, and you don't have to go through that tunnel alone. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Scripture says, thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Jesus walks with us when we go through these tunnels of grief and depression and seek something on the other side. God wants you to access that joy, and God does not make you get there alone. Even if the joy feels inaccessible, I hope you know that Christ is still accessible, right next to you, walking with you through that darkness. And if even that feels hard to believe today, I hope you will, at the very least, reach out to somebody in this church. I'm serious about this. I'm not kidding. My cell number is on the back of your bulletin. You can call me. You can text me. You can call Byron. We are here for you because God wants us to connect so that we can find that joy through connection. God does not want us to go through these tunnels alone, but we can abide with Christ by walking through them and looking for Christ as we go through them with him. Second, we can abide with Christ by pausing in prayer. The past few weeks, I've been teaching a women's book study, and it's been so fun for me to teach this study that has women of several different generations and it all learning from one another what it means to follow Jesus and what our faith lives look like. And one of the most inspiring moments for me came when two of the older women in our group shared about the power of prayer in their lives. Both of these women have been through a lot in their lives. They've said goodbye to their husbands. They've fought cancer. They've been through 8 decades of just the challenges of normal life. But they spoke about how prayer is what kept them strong through it all. They talked with our group about how when they pray, when they stop and pray, they feel an unexplained sense of calm come over them. They feel connected with Jesus. They feel like they can face anything. And if you're new to faith, this might sound kind of strange. I get that. I get that if you're new to faith, you're probably thinking, okay, pastor, of course, you just want me to pray. That seems like a pastor thing to say. But don't knock it till you try it, is what I'm going to say. Because this sense of pausing and taking time to root yourself back in with God, that's what abiding in Christ looks like. Even if it just is a few moments, or a few minutes, or a breath, even if it's just pausing to thank God for the good things in your life. When these women pause to pray and then find strength to face all of life's challenges, that's what abiding in Jesus looks like. That's what connection to the true vine does. That gives you life from the inside out, life and life abundant, joy overflowing. Finally, and my third idea for you is that I think we can find abide with Jesus by just opening our eyes to the ordinary moments where Jesus is already present with us. Last week, I had a little fun and took a poll in the Moms Connect Facebook page and said, "What is bringing you joy this week? Tell me," asking for a sermon. Help me out. And I loved how ordinary the responses were that I got. What's bringing me joy? A calm few minutes before my kids get up when I can eat some cereal and look at some flowers. Taking a refreshing swim. Having a good laugh. Overhearing my kids have a good play. Eating tacos for lunch and having an afternoon ice cream party. Watching my kids' eyes light up when they see something amazing like a bug. Having friends who show up for me who are even better than family. Seeing the joy in my kids as they experience the beauty of our natural world. Ordinary, everyday things bringing joy. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't wait for extraordinary moments to bring joy. The Holy Spirit's already in you. It's already there, growing that fruit of joy, ready to fill you with light. Many of us, myself included, feel pulled in 100 different directions each day, and so I know it's really easy to get distracted from what the Spirit is doing. But the truth is that the most sacred moments are these ordinary, everyday moments. Joy doesn't have to wait for vacation. Joy doesn't have to wait for an extraordinary accomplishment to occur. There are daily doses of joy, and that is God's presence in your daily life at the heart of what it means to be alive. Friends, I want you to know that through all of what God says and all of what God calls us to do, God desires for us to experience this fruit of the Spirit, this joy. This is why Jesus gave us these words, and this is why the Spirit dwells in us, so that your joy may be complete. May you this week know that God finds joy in your mere existence. This week, may you be brave enough to journey through the tunnels of grief. May you pause and dwell in that grateful prayer that will center you. And this week, day by day, may you open your eyes to the ordinary ways in which God is already at work. And in so doing, may you find yourself abiding with Jesus. We can't chase down joy, but we can pursue Jesus, who is the one who brings us that joy, that soft joy like twinkle lights, welling up from within, shining in moments of darkness, and leading us back to the one who is the true light of the world, that vine and source of all life. Amen.